Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Ervin Daf Chav Dalad. We are 9 lines from the top. Says the Gemara, Nita Rubot. Let's go back to a case of the Karfif, this large storage area which was enclosed, Ladira, for the sake and purpose of living in it, but it has a residential purpose to it, residential use. And even if it's large in size, it's okay, because a makam which was hukaf, which was enclosed lidira, for residential purpose, can be used and carried throughout it, even if it's large in size, even if it's greater than tusa. So this area which was enclosed lidira, the Braisa tells us, nita rubai, if most of this area is planted with trees, which provide shade and shelter, which have residential use to them, so we regard this area merely like a courtyard. It still retains its residential status. It's considered to be hukaf ledir umutar, and one is certainly allowed to carry throughout this enclosure. Amar v'yudu amar v'imi. V'hu provided shasuin itstabloy. So the trees were lined up neatly, properly lined up, which makes them pleasant and inviting, and therefore is considered to be dira, has residential value. Rav Nachman amar, even if they're not lined up properly, not neatly aligned, it's okay. It still has a residential purpose to it. It provides shade, provides shelter. Therefore, it's considered to be a mokaim, which is hukaf ledir. Continues more with a story. Mar Yehuda, ikla, he visited lebei Rav Huna bar Yehuda, the home of Rav Huna bar Yehuda. Chazinu, lahanu, he noticed these trees, the loyavidu itstablois, which are not lined up neatly. And they were carrying throughout these trees. Amar lei, so he told his host, do you not agree? This statement that Ravimi taught us, that these trees need to be lined up neatly for them to be considered a makom of dira. Amar lei, so he responded, no, I'm not Rav Nachman, really. I don't like Rav Nachman, who does not require the trees to be lined up in any specific order. They're still considered to be a makom dira. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Karfif Yoser Mbeis Asayim. We have this enclosure, storage area, which is larger in size than Tusa. Shlo Hukav Ladira was not constructed, was not enclosed for the sake of residency. Now he'd like to modify it. He'd like to transform it into a makom which is Hukav Ladira. For instance, he has his home right next to it. He's going to open an entrance from his home to this enclosure to turn it into a makom of dira, a place of residency. Now, he can't just open the Pesach and automatically allow carrying it throughout this area. Why? Because it needs to go with a specific sequence. First, you need to have the dira there, and then create the enclosure which will service the dwelling area. So short of just demolishing the entire enclosure, there's another option of modifying it slightly, which would be considered as though he nullified the existing mechitzas, which were not constructed for the sake of dira, and he transformed it into a hekif, into an enclosure, which is ladira. So if Nachman or Shmuel gives us an easy option, how does he go ahead and transform this enclosure? How does he reconstruct these walls without actually reconstructing them in totality? How is he meant to proceed? So he says, Pirates by Pirza, Yosim Eser. Very simple. He takes a sledgehammer and he breaches a Pirza, a hole within the wall, which is wider than 10 amis, which is beyond the shear of Pesach. Now, once he's created this Pirza, the entire mechitza around this carpet becomes bottle. It's as though it's non-existent, because the mechitza is meant to enclose the air, to protect the air from the outside. When you have a large Pirza, the entire mechitza is bottle. So it's as though the entire wall is non-existent. And then he goes ahead and reconstructs the wall. He rebuilds Umamid al-Eser. And he reconstructs to the point that this opening is either 10 amas or less, which is considered a Pesach. So he has now turned a Pirza, a breach, into a Pesach. It's as though he has reconstructed those walls. Because when the Pirza was there, the walls were non-existent. They were non-functioning walls. Now when he reconstructed the walls, he's repaired the breach, and he's lessened the width of that breach to 10 amos or less. At this point,
It's as though he rebuilt those walls. He activated those walls. And now, those walls have been rebuilt for the sake of Dira, because he had an entranceway to his home, open to this enclosure. So first he created that Dira, now he created the Hekev. He reconstructed the walls around this enclosure by employing this method. And now we have a Makim, which is Hukaf Ladira, in which case he can carry throughout it despite its large size. Mutter, and he's allowed to carry throughout this area. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, which is just about halfway down the Amud, smack in the middle of the page, beginning with the words Ketzad Ois. So how is he meant to proceed with this method? Pirates by Pirza Yos Meser. Davi Kimisha by Mechitzes. Once he has this large Pirza, he says, well, the Mechitzes are non-existent. So once he's gotten rid of those old Mechitzes, now he can reconstruct new Mechitzes. L'shem Dira, for the sake of dwelling. The Goyder, and he rebuilds, V'soysa Meser Pirza, closes up that breach, U'mamid al Eser, till he gets to the point that it's either 10 or less. V'avik Pesach. V'avik Pesach, L'soy Hukav, L'dira, Shniftachaloi. Now this enclosure has a status of like a case where a person opens up the home to a certain place and then goes ahead and encloses that area. Pasach ulabasoif hukav, as going to see in the Gemara soon, that is the condition to allow Karen throughout an area. First you need pasach, you need to open the entranceway from your home to this unfenced area, then fence it, which makes it pasach ulabasoif hukav. So the enclosure is servicing the dira, and therefore is considered a makom shukav ladira. So over here as well, although the wall was pre-existing, but since he demolished that wall, halachically it's non-existent when he opens that pirza. So at this point he has no walls here. He has a opening, which he had also opened to his house. So he has a pesach to his house. So now he's going to reconstruct this area. It's going to be l'shem dira, to service the home as an extension of his home, which is considered to be a hekef l'shem dira. Explains Rashi, lo'olam be'ina sheyigdar yoisim es amos. He needs to go ahead and get involved with an area which is greater than 10 amos. He needs to breach more than 10 amos and rebuild it. Why? The parts es elavad v'gada. If he only opened a breach of 10 amos and rebuilt that, there's no effect here. Lo'ychashiv ha'u hekef l'shem dira. This enclosure will not be considered constructed l'shem dira. Why? Because he never destroyed the original mechitzas. He only opened a pesach there. El kamish also pesach. That's why he made a pesach. Dad eser lo yomav pesach. As we know throughout this mesechta many times, we learned that up until Tanamis, it's considered merely an entranceway. A mechitzas is allowed to have an entranceway. How else are you going to get in and out? So creating a pesach doesn't nullify these mechitzas. Doesn't destroy the mechitzas. So you need specifically to create a pirtz which is greater than 10. By doing so, he's been mevatel the original hekif, the original enclosure. Now he's going to fix that breach and bring it to either 10 or less, which makes it a proper mechitza. So he reconstructed those mechitzas, and now since this area had access to his home, so now he's constructing mechitzas around a makom dira, and the place is mutter. Continues the Gemara. That's one option. He breaches a huge pirza and rebuilds. Iboilu, so they ask the following question. What if he does it step by step, incrementally? Paratz amma v'gadr amma. He breaches an amma and repairs it. Uparatz amma v'gadr. He breaches another amma next to that repaired portion and rebuilds that. Achi shlima liyasim eser ma'am. Until in totality, the sum total of the breaches were greater than 10. Ma'am is halacha here. Meaning, there was no one point in time where we had a pirza which was greater than 10 ammas. It was one amma at a time. He broke an amma, fixed it up. Broke an amma next to it, fixed it up. So it wasn't a pirza at one time of 10 ammas. But at the end of the day, if not for the fact that he fixed up all these breaches, the original mechitza would not be a halachically valid mechitza because a pirza yosim eser. Not for the fact that he fixed it up, at least partially, to bring it down to less than 10, you have no original mechitza here. So do we say, This is sufficient to be mevat original mechitzas, or not? Ma, what is the halacha here? Let's take a look in Rashi, which is the next Rashi, right after the one we just saw, which is actually 31 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Says Rashi, paratz ama, eitzel stima v'gadra. So he broke an ama,
and he fixed it. Void parts ama etel stimas ama chadasha v'gadra, and he was parts another ama next to the repair portion, and he rebuilt that as well. So the parts with amas keechad, he didn't break 10 amas at once. For the gadar as the amas vasachas, nor did he repair 10 amas at once. Meaning there was no open breach of 10 amas or more. Elam ato he parts v'gadra miyad. He was doing it incrementally, stage by stage. Ashi shlimu liyos me'eser. Until in final analysis, he has breached more than 10 amas. Miriam Minyan, shall we say, given the late paras, yud vasachas, since he didn't break 10 at once. For the god of vasachas, he didn't build 10 at once. Lo yihav a hekif bezul l'shem dira. We don't say that this hekif, this enclosure, is l'shem dira, because he didn't really redo the enclosure, because there was no one moment where the mechitza was entirely bottle, where it featured a peretz yosem eser. That's one side of the coin. Idilma, perhaps, it is okay. Why? Kiv and the hashtamir. Since, at the end of the day, right now, have a chidush al hekif, yaisir me'eser. The additional, the repaired portion is greater than 10. Chashav hekif l'shem dira. It's considered to be a hekif l'shem dira because, if not for the fact that he repaired this breach, the original mechitza would be worthless. If not for the fact that he went ahead and he actually fixed up these breaches. If the original mechitza would have had a peretz of yosem me'eser, it would be null and void. So it's only due to the fact that he reconstructed, that he created a new addition to this mechitza, that we have a mechitza here. So shall we say that the original mechitza is really no longer in existence? And therefore, when he repairs it, it's considered to be a new mechitza. And it's hukav l'shem dira, because it was constructed for the sake of residency, because he has his house open to this area. Or should we say, since there wasn't really one point in time that there was a pirza which was greater than 10 amis, if so, the original mechitza still retains its standing. We can't consider this as a new mechitza. That's two sides of the coin. We know if we did it all at once, it works. Because incrementally, shall we say that, end of the day, the original mechitza on its own will be null and void, if not for the fact that he repaired it. Then he went ahead and he lessened the pirza to 10 or less. So the original mechitza is no longer really here. Or, fact of the matter is, there was no one point in time that it featured a great pirza, and therefore the original mechitza is still here. Continues the more Amar Lei. So he responded, Lav hainu des nan. Isn't this exactly like the halacha found in the following Mishnah? When we find that even something done in stages is considered to be a renewed entity. Kol klei bali batim, all your typical wooden utensils belonging to your typical homeowners, who are careful not to just simply discard of their kalim when they get slightly punctured. So what is the share of the neck of the puncture which will actually be mavatlet from a kli, which will no longer consider to be a kli for tumah, shi'uran kurimayinim? That's only if it gets a hole the size of a pomegranate. So if the kli would allow a pomegranate to slip out of its hole, at that point, it's useless and it's tor. Uboy Chizkiya. On this halacha, there was a question from Chizkiya. Nikav kimoitzi zayis. Let's say this kli never really experienced this large hole of a riman. Rather, it was in stages. It got a hole size that would allow a zayis to get through. No, a small hole. Vesasmoy, and he went ahead and he repaired it. Vechazer v'nikav kimoitzi zayis. Vesasmoy. And then, right next to that original repaired spot, there was another hole that appeared the size of a zayis. And he went ahead and closed that up as well. Achish lima lemaitzi rimoin mau. Until the final analysis of this kli contains a repaired portion the size of a rimoin. So he was mashlim the holes in the repaired portions until the point of a rimoin. Mau, what is the lacha here? Shall we say, since this kli never really experienced a puncture the size of a rimoin, so it's still a kli, or shall we say, since at the end of the day, if not for the fact that he repaired all those holes, he would have a huge hole here. The original kli is really not functioning any longer. It's due to the repair work that we have a kli. So the original kli is already bottled, and therefore can no longer be mekabel tuma. So this is the kasha, the question that Chizkiya wanted to know. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan responded, Rabbi, Shani Salonu, you yourself have taught us a similar halacha, where we see that in such a case, it would be considered a new kli. The halacha was regarding a case of tumas medras. So Mishnah says a sandal, this sandal which has two aznaim, two flaps, which are very important for the functioning of the sandal. Now, fact of the matter is, if only one of them snaps off, you can still use the sandal. But if both of them snap off, the sandal is useless. So what if the sandal was used by a zav, and the sandal now becomes an avatuma? It's called midras azav, or stepped on by the zav. It's a very stringent form of tuma. It's an avatuma, can put tame a person. So this sandal, shenifsuka achas maznov, one of its ears, one of its flaps, snapped off. V'tikna, and he repaired it, replaced it with another flap. Tame midras, it still retained its earlier status. It can still be used for the zav. Rashi explains, even if he wouldn't have fixed it, even if it's still missing one flap, it's still suitable to be used as a shoe, as a sandal, and it still retains its tumah, its original tumas midras. Nifsika shniya b'tikna, let's say the second flap snapped off, and he replaced it. Tare min ha-midras, it is no longer tare min ha-midras, no longer tame the original tumas midras. Why? Because the original kli is no longer here. Because both flaps are missing. They were replaced. Ava tame maga midras, but it is tame, a more lenient form of tumah, maga midras, as though it touched a midras, in which case it's a original tumah. Rashi explains, since as the second flap is being snapped off, the kli is actually touching it on its way out. Therefore, the sandal here is considered as though it touched a midras, and it still retains a more lenient form of tumah of maga midras. Okay, so it's original tumah. Now the question was, Va'amr Salah, or some have a gear Sarvin, we asked you, how do we understand this halach? Maishna Rishoina, why when the first flap snapped off, do we say it's still a fully functioning sandal? It's still Metame Midras, Tokai Mishniya, because the second oizen, second flap, was still present and the kli is still useful. Shniya Nami, even when the second one goes, Hokai Mishniya, since he had replaced the first one. So even when the second flap snaps off, this sandal is still useful on account of the first flap, which was replaced. So there's never a single point in history here where the sandal was bereft of both flaps. It always had at least one flap to it, which made it useful and functional. So why is this thing not metame midras? Why doesn't it retain its original status and still have its original tumah? And you, Chizki, explain to us the pshat in this Mishnah. A new face has arrived. New appearance. It has a new identity. Why? Because although, you're right, there was never one point in time where this kli was not usable because it always had some sort of flap attached to it. But in final analysis of things, when the second one snapped off and you replaced it, both flaps are new flaps. If not for the fact that you replace the flaps, the original sandal will be a non-functioning entity. So the original sandal is no longer here. This is a brand new sandal. Therefore, it doesn't anymore have the original tumah, which it received when it had its former identity. Panam chadoshes bolukan. So you're right. Even though this sandal always featured at least one flap, and it could have been used at that point. It was a functioning entity. But it doesn't have its original identity, because both flaps are new. So this is Chizkiah responding, Rabbi Yochanan responding to Chizkiah. He had a question regarding that kli that received many punctures incrementally. Do we say, well, it's a new thing? Or do we say, well, it still retains its original identity? You yourself explained to us regarding the sandal. If we look at the present identity, we say, well, it's a new entity. It's identified as a new kli because the original kli, if not the fact that you repaired it, would not be a non-functional entity. So long, no, the original kli is no longer here. Oh, and Nami here as well, when it comes to the kli, which received many holes side by side, even though there was no one point in time where this kli had a shear of remind, but since, if not for the fact that he went and repaired those holes, the original kli will be a non-functioning kli. It will have a hole the size of a remind. It's a new face that has arrived. It's a new kli. The original kli is certainly bottle, and the tumah is gone. So this was Rabbi Yochanan responding to Chizkiah, and Chizkiah was so impressed by this connection, by this correlation between the kli and the sandal, korele. So he exclaimed on him, he called out on him, blazed in bar inish. This is not a person, this is a malach. Ikad amri, some say, he go in den bar inish. This is an example of a true person, Rashi says, Adam Gadol, great person, he go in den bar nash. So getting back to our question regarding the karfif, now we have a solution to our question. Just as if he breaks this large pirtza, which is greater than 10 amis, the mechitzas become batel. Likewise, when he does it incrementally, he breaks an amma, repairs it, another amma, repairs it, until the total pirtza is equal more than 10 amis. This too is considered to be a new entity. We consider this to be a new construction, a newly constructed karfif. The original mechitza are no longer present because, if not the fact that he repaired it, the original mechitza would be worthless, would have a pirtza greater than 10. Therefore, it's considered to be a new enclosure, a new mechitza, a new hekif. And since right now it's being done l'shem dira, it's considered to be a karfif, which is hukav l'dira, and it is mutter. Continues the Gemara, Omer Avkan, Rechava Shachoyre Ba'abatim. You have this lot behind the homes. Eim etalton bo'yel b'dalad amis. One can only carry within 4 amis, because they're considered to be lo yokef l'dira. Since the homes are not open to these areas, they're not accessing the areas, they're not considered to be an extension of the dira of the home, it's lo yokef l'dira. And since it is larger than 2 sa, considered like a karmelis, you cannot carry throughout this area only within 4 amis. V'arav Nachman, impasal le pesach. Let's say he did open a pesach from the home to this rechava. Now it turns into a makim hukif l'dira, because it's servicing the home. Mutal tata b'kuloi, one can carry throughout the entire area. Pesach matir, merely the Pesach, the entranceway from the home to the rechava, grants permission to the rechava. It turns into a makim, which is hukif l'dira. V'loi amar, continues the Gemara, this is only said, elisha pasach l'basayif hukif. If it went in this sequence, first he opened the entranceway from the home to the lot, and then l'basayif hukif, then it wasn't closed. In which case, it's considered to be a place which services the home. It's a makam, which is hukaf l'dira, has residential value. Aval, but if it's in the reverse, hukaf, first it was enclosed with a mechitz. L'basayif pasach, and then he opened this pesach from that enclosure to the home. Loi, it doesn't work, because the actual time, the moment where, when the mechitzas were constructed, it needs to have residential value, residential use. But if it only came later, it doesn't transform it into an enclosure l'shem dir. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, pasach abasef hukaf pshita. So he's merely telling us that when you open it and then you enclose the area, it's fine. Isn't that self-evident? Why would I think otherwise? What's Rav Nachman coming to teach us? Like Tzricha must be speaking about a case, the Isbe Beidori, you have a threshing area behind the home. And you went ahead, you opened an entranceway, you broke a wall, you opened a doorway from the home to the area behind the home, which features this threshing area, which is not really a residential area now. A threshing area doesn't have a din of dira. Then he went ahead and enclosed the entire area with a mechitz. Ma'od etem, perhaps I would say, adata de beidori avdi. Why did he open this Pesach? Why did he enclose the area? He did it for the sake of the threshing area. It wasn't done to service the home, meaning he opened the Pesach to gain access to the threshing area. Not that the backyard should be an extension of the home. Or when he made that mechitz around that area, he did it to enclose the threshing area. He didn't do it to service the home. Therefore, perhaps I would say, this area is not considered to be an extension of the home. It's not considered to be a mokim dira, kamash malon. He teaches us, yes, even though there's a beidori there, nevertheless, it is still considered to be an area which services the home. So the Pesach was done so that the lot behind the home should service the home. The enclosure was done to service the home. It's considered to be a mokim shukav l'dira. Continues the Gemara. Karfif yosin beis hasayin. So we have this enclosure which is encompasses an area greater than 2 sa. Shukav l'dira, which was enclosed for the sake of dira, and a smalamayim. And it fills up with water. Does that change the status? Does that nullify the dira status. Sover Rabban Lameimer, Rabban figured to say, Kizroim Damova Asr, water. It's equated to planting these vegetables, these seeds, in which case it becomes a non-residential entity. And therefore, you cannot carry throughout this area. Amalu Rav Abba, Achva, some have a gives to Achva, the brother, the Rav or the Rava, Breda of Meshasha. He responds to them, there's no concern. Hochi Amrinim Shmein, the Rava, this is how we quote Rava, Mayim Kinatim Domovishari. Water is considered like trees. They have residential value. They supply one with his water supply. Vishara, and therefore one can carry throughout this area, it retains its residential status. Amar Meima, for who provided the Chazin Tashmishta, that's suitable for personal use. Ava lechazin Tashmishta, but if they're not drinkable water, loy, certainly that is Mevatel, the din of Diraf in this area. Amar Vashi, but the Chazin Tashmishta, namele Amar, even when it's suitable for human consumption, we will not say that it's okay. Ella only provided she'en bo'imkoi yois misesai. If the deep portion of this water, meaning the portion of this mayim which is 10 tfachim or deeper than that, is not too big, it's not greater than 2 sa. Because deep water is not considered to be like a containment of water which is reserved for a person's water supply. It's said to be like a body of water, which is longer regarded as a residential area. So if this deep water encompasses an area which is Yesim B'Sasayim, then it becomes us. Aval. So only if it's less than Tusa. Only if it's less, Ein Bo'imko Yesim B'Sasayim. Only if it doesn't have an area greater than Tusa. Meaning it's Tusa or less. Aval Yesim Bo'imko Yesim B'Sasayim. But if the deep portion of this water encompasses an area which is greater than Tusa, Asur, and they can no longer carry throughout this area because it's a non-residential area which is greater than the limit of Tusa. Concludes the Gemara V'lav Milsi, actually, it's not so. Why? Because water services a person, we're speaking about drinkable water, therefore, it's irrelevant how large the size of the water is, it's considered to be a Makam Dira. Mididahava, I carry the period. It's like a pile of fruit which is present in one's backyard, a place which is hukav l'dira. So even if you have a large pile of fruit, it's servicing the person. It's his personal fruit supply, and therefore it still retains the dira status. Take a look at Rashi on the top line. So Meima told us that the water needs to be chazal tashmishta lishtia, drinkable water. There's no better. Have you a better dira than this? You have a place with water, perfectly fine. And Rav Ashi adds, you must make sure she'en bo'imko yoisa b'sasayim. Kaloyma, she'en imko shomayim, the deep portion of this water, is not too large in size. Nifshat b'roichav yoisa b'sasayim, doesn't stretch over an area which is larger than Tusa. Now, what does it mean, oimko? What do I mean by deep water? Oimko shal stamayim, levatal mekoymoy, medin karka. What is the share of the depth, the required depth of water, which will nullify from having a din of karka, transform it from dry land to a body of water? How deep must the water be? He says, Rashi, yud tfachim, ten tfachim deep. Shabbos, as we learn, less than 10 is considered to be a puddle. But if the depth of the water is 10 tfachim or deeper, it's considered to be a body of water. And if it covers a large area, it is mevatel, the makim is no longer considered to be a makim dira. And the Gemara concludes, actually it's not so, because it's like a kari de peris, as Rashi krishal peris, a pile of fruit, kavayasara, which is 10 tfachim high, for roichav, kareichav base kor, even if it's very wide, the size of a base kor, which is a place where you can plant 30 sa, so despite its very large size, like batla teres dira misham. The teres dira, the residential status of this location has not become nullified of mayim ruim l'shtia, compares dummy. Likewise, drinkable water is equated to fruit, and therefore it's irrelevant how much water is present in this area is considered to be a makam which is hukav l'dira. So in conclusion, we learned several halachas regarding a karfef we began. It was a karfef which was enclosed l'shem dira for sake of residence. So, if it is nita rubai, it's mostly planted with trees, it's still mutter because trees provide shade and shelter, and it still retains its residential status. Whether those trees need to be conformed, lined up, kids tabloids to make them pleasant and inviting, one shita requires it, other shita says trees are trees, regardless of their position and configuration, the place is still considered to be makam dira. We had a case of a karfif, which is actually not hukaf ledira. Now he's trying to transform it into a makam which is hukaf ledira. So, one of two options. Either he breaks down the entire machitza and reconstructs it. It's more easier, more convenient method as follows. He goes in and makes a pirtza which is larger than 10 amis. And encloses that pirtza. So now he's created a new machitza. Because at the point where, when there was a pirtza there, the machitzas were batal. So by reconstructing, by repairing that pirtza, he has reconstructed those machitzas and given them a new status. And since his home is now open to this enclosure, it's considered to be a hukaf ledira. More discussed the case where he did it in stages. Paratzama v'gadar ama. Paratzama v'gadar ama. In this case as well, the Gemara concluded is mutar. Because not for the fact that he repaired that breach, the original machitza without the repair will be null and void. So it's considered to be panam chadash ha'isbolo kan. A new face, a new identity has arrived, and these machitza are considered to be constructed anew. And since it's being done l'shem dira, it's considered to be hukaf ledira and tzmuta. Gemara tells us a rechava, which is behind the homes, is considered to be lo hukaf ledira. If a person opens a passageway from his home to the back of the home, and then milbasayif hukaf, and then the area is enclosed, it's considered to be hukaf ledira and it's muta. Gemara tells us the chiddush is, even if there's a beidori present in the backyard, we say, well, it's still considered to be hukaf ledira, it's servicing the home, and it's muta. Gemara tells us that a large area, which was hukaf ledira, and experienced an influx of water. Gemara tells us, even if the mayim, provided the mayim is running l'shtia, it is suitable for personal use, personal drinking use, then the area still retains its dira status. And even if this body of water encompasses an area which is greater than 2 sa', the area still retains its dira status, regarded as a water supply for personal consumption. Gemara compares it to a pile of fruit. Continues the Gemara. Hahi rechava, there was a certain lot, this enclosed area, which was larger than 2 sa'. It was a makam which was loy hukaf ledir, wasn't enclosed for residential purposes. It's considered to be a karmelis. The havoy b'pumnahara, which was present in this town of Pumnahara. The chad gisa have a pasech l'masa. One side of this rechava had access to the city. V'chad gisa have a pasech l'shlosha kramim. The other side of this rechava had access to a path running through the vineyards. Now, Rashi explains that there were diurim there, there were residencies in the Shilshal Kramim area. So there were homes there which were actually using that pathway. So we had a rechava in the middle, this large enclosed area, which was lo yukaf ledira. It wasn't enclosed for residential purposes. Off to one side, we have a mavoi, which is being used by the members of the city, which is starting from Rosh Hashanah on one side, which has a Tirus HaPesach there to enclose that side. So this Mavi technically has 3 mechitzas, one on either side, and a Tirus HaPesach, a configuration of a doy at the Rosh Hashanah. So this gives it 3 mechitzas. The problem is, the Mavi is totally exposed to a karmelis, to the Rechava. It's missing a wall. There's no Pesach there. So that makes the Mavi Aser b'tiltel. We know that we have an area which is exposed to another area which is aser b'tiltel, like a karmelis. That karmelis interferes with the original makom, and you cannot carry in the original place unless you create a partition to separate the two areas. That's one concern. The mavi cannot carry due to the fact that he is open to the rechav. On the other side of the rechav, there's a shvil, a pathway running between the vineyards, which featured homes in the area, was a place of residence. And the Gemara tells us, a shvil shel kramim have a salik l'gudad nahara. That pathway, that shvil shel kramim, actually led into the gudad nahara. So nahara is the river. There was a gudad nahara, a river bank, a steep river bank, which created a mechitza. So just as the Mavi had three mechitzes, the Shvil also has three mechitzes, two walls, one on either side. And then at the riverside, there's a mechitza there as well. Problem here is that he too is exposed to the Rechava, which is a Karmelus. So this created a concern all throughout this area. The Mavi can't carry, the Rechava certainly can't carry, because it's an area greater than Tusa, which is not enclosed to the Shem Dira. Likewise, the Shvil can't carry, although he's enclosed on three sides, because he's exposed, he's connected to the Rechava. So what are we meant to do to allow carrying throughout the area? Amar Abaye, hey Chanavet, what should we do? Le'avad le'mechitza, agudad nahara. Perhaps we can use the following method. Let's build another mechitza on top of the riverbank. And that's going to be l'shem dira, meaning from now on, going forward, the people of the Shvil want to actually use the Rechava. They want to make use of that large square in the middle. Problem is, the walls around the Rechava were constructed for a non-residential purpose, lo yikuv l'dira. The fact that they're using it now doesn't transform those mechitzes. As we learned earlier, it needs to go in stages. First, you need to use the area, then you can enclose it, l'shem dira. So the fact that the residents living in the Shvil would like to use the Rechava, that's step number one. They'd like to use it, l'shem dira. But now you need to transform the mechitza somehow, to reconstruct the mechitzes, l'shem dira. How's he going to do it? Says Abai, perhaps, we could use the following method. Add another mechitza. At the end of the Shvil, where he meets the Nar, now creating that mechitza, l'shem dira, he's enclosing the Shvil and also the Rechava, which is inside it. Because right now the Shvil and the Rechava are going to be one and the same usage area. It's one continuous usage area because they want to use the Rechava. So let's regard the Shvil and the Rechava as one area, one makom, and the Mechitza, which is placed at the entranceway to the Shvil, where he meets the Nar, that additional enclosure would be considered to be a Hekef. Like he's constructing, he's enhancing, he's modifying the enclosure, L'shem Dira. And that will positively affect the Shvil and the Rechava together. Will turn the whole area into a makam, which is Hukaf L'dira. Again, says Amar Abaye, hey Chinavi, what should we do? Le'avad le'mechitza gud nahara. Should we place a mechitza atop the riverbank? That won't work. Ein oisem mechitza gab mechitza. One can't make a mechitza on top of another mechitza. It's useless. There is a pre-existing mechitza there at the riverbank. You've done nothing by adding another mechitza on top of it. Then options off the table. Says Morley, Avadle Turis HaPesach. Let's create a Turis HaPesach. Apuma, the Shvil Shalkramim. Let's put a Turis HaPesach at the mouth of the Shvil Shalkramim, where the Shvil meets the Rechava. At that point, where they meet each other, let's create a Turis HaPesach, which will block off, create a halachic stima, halachic blockage to that opening. By doing so, you are enhancing, you are modifying the enclosure of the Rechava as well, and turning it into a reconstructed mechitza l'shem dir. Says more, that won't work for practical reasons. Also, gamli, the camels will come along, the ones that access the river through the pathway. Shadinle, they'll go knock off this Tzuras HaPesach. It won't really endure, it won't really remain in place. Therefore, practically speaking, we can apply this method. Ela Abaye, rather, let's apply the following etzah. Le'aved lechi, apisal l'shvil shel kramim. Let's apply a lechi at the entranceway, where the Shvil meets the Rechava. Now, although we're speaking about a entranceway which is 10 amos or less, it's not really a pirtza. But this lechi here, which is benefiting the Shvil, because the Shvil is, it's like a mavi, which is opened, which has been breached to a karmelus, the Rechava. It requires an additional closure. It requires that lechi to allow karmelus in the Shvil. So in the Rabban, we consider this lechi like an enclosure, like sort of a mechitza. So since it is effective for the Shvil, it's considered to be an enhancement, a completion of the enclosure of the Shvil. It's now considered to be enclosed on four sides. The migu de mahani l'shvil shakramim, just as it's effective, beneficial for the Shvil, we regard this lechi as an enclosure like a mechitza. And mahani nami l'rechava, it can also be effective, aid and benefit the Rechava. If it works for one side, for the shvil, it's considered to be an enclosure. That concept can be applied to the rechava as well. Meaning, it's considered to be an enhancement, a modification of the mechitza surrounding the rechava. It's as though you added, you modified, you enhanced, you improved the mechitza around the rechava. L'shem adira, for the sake of, for the purpose of residency. So now this entire rechava is considered to be hukaf l'dira, and you can carry throughout the rechava, and carry throughout the entire area, which are open to the rechava. That's Abaye's approach. So the first question was, who created mechitza by the nar? No, that certainly can't be done because there's already a pre-existing mechitza there. Should we make a turas pesach where the shvil meets the rechava? And since that turas pesach provides enclosure for the shvil, it will provide an enclosure and enhance the enclosure of the rechava as well. It's as though he modified the mechitzas around the rechava l'shem dira, transformed the heck of l'shem dira, which permits crams throughout the rechava. That won't work for practical reasons because the camels will toss it down. The third option was that he places a lechi where the shvil meets the rechava, which creates closure for the shvil and will create closure for the rechava, turn it into a hook of l'dira enclosure, which permits carrying throughout it. Amalei Rava, I agree, in principle this would work, but there's another concern. If you place a lechi at that point, perhaps the observers won't realize that this shvil is a mavi sasam, working with the premise that the shvil is enclosed on three sides, and only needs a lechi to complete that enclosure. How does that have three mechitzas? Very simple. One wall on either side, and that mechitza of the good of the Nahara, that riverbank, that steep bank. Rava maintains perhaps the observers won't realize that there's a mechitza by the river. And I'll say, this is an open-ended shvil. It's a mavi mefulash. It's open on both sides. A lechi is sufficient for this type of mavi? This will create confusion. Amalei Rava Yoimer, people will say, lechi mayel shvil shel krom da'alma. A lechi can be effective to close up a shvil shel krom da'alma, your typical pathway running along the vineyards, which is open on either side. In that case, certainly just one lechi on one side is ineffective. It's ineffective because this shvil is open on both sides. You need to have a tzuras pesach on one side to close it up on three sides, and then add the lechi if you like. This can create confusion. Therefore, says Rava, we can't apply the lechi here. Elam Rava, rather, we do as follows. Avdinin lechi, lepischa d'masa. We place a lechi, lepischa d'masa, at the opening of the mavi. Masa means a city, so the mavi is servicing the city. So he means placing a lechi where the mavi greets the rechava. Now that mavi is certainly a properly enclosed mavi. All see, it has two walls, plus the tzuras pesach, where the mavi meets the shesarab. So it's perfectly enclosed on three sides. Problem is merely that it's exposed to Rechava. So place a lechi there, which will create that enclosure to the mavi. It will separate it from the Rechava. Now, once the lechi is considered to be like a mechitza, it closes up that Pesach to benefit the mavi. It separates the two entities. The migu de mahani lelech lemasa. Since this lechi works for the mavi, it's considered to be like sort of a mechitza here. Mahaninan amil rechava. It would also serve and benefit the rechava. Meaning that, this halachically, we regard this lechi like almost like a mechitza. It's closing up the doorway to the mavi. So if it works for one side, it's considered to be like a mechitza for the rechava as well. And now he's enhanced and modified the mechitzas around the rechava. L'shem dira. So it's considered to be reconstructed mechitzes. It's a heck of a shem dira, and it can carry throughout the rechava. Now the reason why the Gemara needs this migui, since it works for this side, it works for that side, why can't they simply say the lechi would be considered to be an enhancement, an addition to the mechitzes around the rechava, and since it's being done a shem dira, you've transformed the mechitzes around the rechava, you've made it a shem dira, that in itself should be the reason, the basis to carry throughout the rechava. The answer is very simple. Because the Rechava is not really lacking mechitzes. Let's remember, it was the Mavi which was completely breached the Rechava. He's missing a fourth wall. It was the Shvil which has been completely porous to the Rechava. He's missing an entire wall. But the Rechava itself, it's not porous to either one, the Shvil or the Mavi. Why? Because the Rechava here is actually wider. It's greater in size than those two alleyways. So it's overlapping on either side. Those overlaps create a Pesach formation, making this breach be considered like merely a doorway, an entranceway to the Rechava. Rechava was not Nifratz. He's not lacking Mechitzas. He has doorways on all sides. He has entranceways, Pesachim. So his Mechitzas is still considered to be halachically valid. Therefore, placing a Pesach or a Lechi wouldn't be considered to be an enhancement or modification of the Rechava in any which way. It's only based on this concept that the Lechi services the Mavoi or the Shlosha Kramim, which require an additional closure there. They require something to block them from the Rechava because they're totally exposed to the Rechava. They're missing a wall. So since halachically we regard this Lechi or Tzuras HaPesach as a soisim, as though it's closing it off for the sake of the Mavoi or for the Shvil, so once it's regarded as a soisim for one side, it has halacha of a soisim for the other side as well. It's considered like a machitza. It's enclosing the area. It's adding and benefiting this enclosure, even for the sake of the Rechava. And that benefit, that added enclosure, is considered to be a modification of the machitza of the Rechava as well. And since now it's being done l'shem dira, because the members of the Mavi would like to use this Rechava, members of the Shvil would like to use this Rechava, so it's enclosing it now l'shem dira, it's considered to be a makim hukav l'dira, and you can carry it throughout this Rechava despite its very great size. So we have Abaye's approach and Rava's approach. Says the Gemara, okay, in conclusion, Rava will tell us as follows. Hilkach, as a result of this, added lechi, Totuli b'masagufa shari. You can carry it throughout the Mavi, because although it's open to the Rechava, you have a lechi separating them. So even if the Rechava would be aser, now you have a lechi which is separating the Mavi, considered to be a separate entity, you can carry throughout the Mavi. But Rechava gufa shari, you can carry throughout the entire Rechava, because you enhance the machitzas, you turn it into a hukav ladira. What about carrying from one to the other? Mimasal Rechava, from the Mavi to the Rechava, or Rechava l'masal, from the Rechava to the Mavi. Can you carry from one to the other or not? Pligi bar Rav Acha Ravina, the machlekes Rav Acha Ravina. Chad asar, chad shari. One shita did not allow transferring from the Mavi to the Rechava, but chad shari, one did allow. Explains the Gemara. Manda shari, the shita that allowed. Why is that? Very simple. To lack of the urine. There are no residents living in this Rechava, which would require establishing an Erev Chatzeris between the Rechava and the Mavi. Umanda Asar, the one that did not allow, he says, look, in the present, there's no concern here. There are no residents in the Rechava. So you can transfer from the Mavi to the Rechava, but he's concerned about the future developments. Zimnin da'aba ba'diyurin, perhaps, could be a time that there will be diyurin in this Rechava, which will require Erev Chatzeris to be established in order to allow transferring from the Mavi to the Rechava. Vasla tatuli, he may come to continue transferring and carrying from one area to the other, despite the fact that there are residents present in the Rechava, without making an Erev Chatzeris, therefore, he did not allow transferring from the Mavi to the Rechava, and vice versa. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began with a karfif, which was hukav ladira, and was mostly planted with trees. One can continue carrying throughout this area. Trees provide shade and shelter, considered to be residential entities. Do those trees need to be nicely and neatly lined up? We have a machlik. Regarding a carpet which is not hukav ladira, if he makes a pirtza greater than 10 amis and he repairs it, he has reconstructed those walls, and if now his home is open to that area, he has made a makim which is hukav ladira. What if he does it step by step? Paratama, vagadarama, and at the end of the day, the original machitza on its own without the repair would not be effective. The Gemara tells us that is also a way of transforming those machitzas. He gives them a new identity. It's called Panim Chadash Eitz Bolokan. Same halacha applies to the kli that has the hole, or the sandal, which lost its flaps. Regarding a Rechava, this lot behind one's home, if he first opened the entranceway, the exit to the Rechava, and then surrounded the area, Pasach B'Seif Hukav, now it becomes a Mokum Hukav Ladira, and can carry throughout that area despite its large size. The Gemara tells us it's a Chiddush, even if there's a Beit Dori a threshing area present in that backyard, it's mutter to carry, because it's considered to be an area which is servicing the home, extension of the dira. The Gemara tells us a makam, which is hukah for the dira, which experiences an influx of water. If the mayim is ru'uyin l'shtiyah, suitable for personal use, for shtiyah, for drinking, then the Gemara concludes, even if that body of water is deep and very large in size, the enclosure still retains its residential value. It's still considered to be a makam hukah for the dira, and the Gemara compares it to a pile of fruit. We had a case of a large ruchava, greater than Tusa, which was not hukah for the dira, which is considered like a karmus. And we had two alleyways, which are leading into this ruchava, one on either side. How do you go ahead and modify the ruchava to make it a makam hukah for the dira? Since the members of the shvil of the mavi would like to use this ruchava, we have two options. Abaye says he places the lechi at the point where the shvil meets the rechava. That enhancement, that additional closure, creates a new mechitz around the rechava. It's as though he reconstructed the enclosure around the rechava. Now it's considered to be hukah for dira. And according to Abaye, one is allowed to carry throughout this entire arrangement, the rechava, the shvil, and the mavi. According to Rava, there's a concern about confusion here. Therefore, he maintains, place the lechi at the point where the mavi meets the ruchava, working on the same premise that the lechi here is enclosing the mavi, creating that fourth wall, and therefore is considered to be like an addition, like an enhancement to the mechitzas around the ruchava. And since it's being done for the sake of dira, we now regard the ruchava as a makam hukav al dira. Therefore, we can carry throughout the ruchava, we can carry throughout the mavi, regarding transferring from one to the other, we have a machlekes.